Hi, friends. My name is Leanine Heiss, and this is the Moms in Prayer podcast. Today is a bonus episode with our friend Kathy Branzell. Kathy is the president of National Day of Prayer, and she's a Moms in Prayer mom. We wanted to sneak in a quick interview with her because this Thursday, May 7th, is National Day of Prayer. Here at Moms in Prayer, we obviously love the National Day of Prayer ministry, and we love Kathy. So we want to encourage you to participate in whatever way you can. We know you may have kids at home in this season, and it might look different, but what if we gathered them all around our laptop or our computer and join the National Day of Prayer team as they lift up the seven mountains of culture before the Lord? Have no idea what seven mountains are? Neither did I. You are going to love this conversation. Sit back and enjoy. Well, Kathy, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you so much. So good to be with you.
Hey, I'm wondering if you could introduce yourself to our audience.
I would love to. I'm Kathy Branzell. I'm the president of the National Day of Prayer Task Force.
Well, that's great. You must be a mom and a wife too.
Absolutely. So my husband, Russ, is in international healthcare technology. And we've known each other since I was 11 and he was 13. So it's a sweet story. And son, Chandler, 26, graduate of Oral Roberts University and now in Christian media. And daughter, Emily, who is graduating from Mercer University in about a week. So both of them prayed through from kindergarten and beyond with Moms in Prayer.
Okay, so you're a Moms in Prayer mom. That means we have everything in common. So tell us your Moms in Prayer story, Kathy.
Oh my goodness. You know, I have so many fun stories, but was invited into a Moms in Prayer group when my son was in kindergarten forever ago, and just loved the fellowship and loved that it was a true prayer meeting. You know, that was back when we were in Moms in Touch and way back in the day, and just loved that it was a true prayer meeting, that it wasn't like other get together and talk about school gatherings. And there was a true passion to pray for our teachers and our students and the things going on in our school, in our school district. And so from that, then became a Moms in Prayer coordinator. And the next year, as the person who was leading stepped aside, but my children knew when what my son called in kindergarten, mommy's touching prayer time. And that's what he called it. And so I tell this fun story that at one point, because he was very small for his age, and they had to go all the way across the monkey bars in PE as a test. And he could never make it past, you know, about the third rung in there. And so it got to the end of the week and coach said, you know, you have to get all the way through today. As the coach told the story, he winked at him. No problem, coach, because mommies are touching prayer today for me.
Oh, that is so good.
He swung across those monkey bars like a monkey, like, you know, he had been doing it all along. So just, I love that my children grew up knowing the power of prayer. And actually, Fern Nichols and Marley Gritter and I were good friends, and it was the beginning of my ministry journey. And we prayed through some pretty hard things as my children experienced the things in life, but Chandler in particular, for he was stabbed in middle school. And had to change schools and on and on. And then he suffered with cancer his senior year of high school, junior and senior year of high school. And so we prayed through a lot, and God is good.
Oh, man. I am so impressed how Moms in Prayer weaves itself into the fabric of our legacy, of our generations. Kathy, can you pinpoint a time that God started to grow your heart for prayer, or the moment where you felt called to be an intercessor?
It was probably with my own cancer journey, and I was not in a good place in life. I hadn't walked away from God, but I was in a very difficult situation in life, and God decided to draw me back to Him and draw me back into a safe situation with a brain tumor. And I remember laying on the bathroom floor on the cold tile, very sick from chemotherapy, and thanking God for the tumor and for bringing me back to Him, and that I would never, ever doubt Him ever again. And that began a very close, prayerful relationship that has just grown and grown to a pray continually relationship.
It's beautiful. And so what do you think has grown that prayer heart inside of you? I mean, how does one go from being a Moms in Prayer mom after this to having and building a ministry built on prayer?
I think it's a lot of glory stories. You know, This year's theme for National Day of Prayer is Pray God's Glory Across the Earth. Mm-hmm. And people kept reminding me when I announced that theme that this was America's National Day of Prayer. And I said, I am telling you, God gave me that verse and he will not release me from it. And now we see today that the whole earth needs his glory. The whole earth needed prayer in this time. But I would say that it's a daily walk with him in seeing his glory. We exist in his glory, for his glory. And so as we experience, there should be a gratefulness and an awe, you know, that grows in us that just has to stop and say thank you and praise him. That it's not this long list of, Jesus, I need this, give me that, fix this, heal her. You know, it's not this laundry list. It's a conversation. And that's, I think, part of what Moms in Touch was the beginning of. It's understanding all the different aspects of prayer, not just gimme, gimme, and owe them too. But, you know, really the praise and the thankfulness piece of it and growing as an intercessor for others.
So, Kathy, what is National Day of Prayer? We probably have all heard that. We've heard this is National Day of Prayer. And even last year, we talked about National Day of Prayer. But what is this day? And what does it mean?
Yeah, that's great. So many people confuse us. And they're surprised to find out the National Day of Prayer is actually a law. And people are like, wait, what? It's not just like National Donut Day, although we love donuts.
Right.
And thank God for Pie Day. But beyond that, so National Day of Prayer is actually a law. Now, we know that presidents all the way back to from George Washington have called days of prayer. But President Truman in 1952 wanted to specifically call the nation to prayer. And the only problem with that during that time was it could be any old day. And so right now, you know, we have 15,000 coordinators that are part of the National Day of Prayer. Last year, we know we hosted and facilitated at least 50,000 events in the one day. And so imagine trying to do that with a week's notice. If all of a sudden your president goes, we're going to pray next Tuesday. And so then after years between 52 and 88 of doing that, our founder of our task force, Ms. Bonnette Bright, went to Congress and went to President Reagan and asked for a specific day so we could be better planners and preparers for prayer. And so in 1988, it was a unanimous vote of Congress and signed into law by President Reagan that it would always be the first Thursday of May. So people confuse us sometimes with see you at the poll or the presidential prayer breakfast in February. That's not us. We are always first Thursday of May praying for our nation.
So if somebody wants to be involved in National Day of Prayer, I mean, prayer's open to us any day, right? But what specifically happens and how can we be resourced to join together?
So we at the office, we joke, we call ourselves National Daily Prayer. We are just so the first Thursday of May, so this year, May 7th, is a culmination and celebration of 364 other days of prayer. It is a true time for the nation to gather. And so people in California and on the West Coast can realize they're gathering in prayer with people on the East Coast and everywhere in between, at cities and on steps and in parks and around flagpoles and in ballrooms. And we have our national observance that I'd love to share about as well. But throughout the year, we are equipping people to pray for the Seven Mountains and more. We've been on bus tours and gone around the country and prayed with people. We have daily prayer calls every morning and every night that people can call into. So we are constantly praying for our nation. But what's special about the first Thursday of May is that we know millions, literally millions of prayers are praying for America and this year around the world.
How can people find out more about National Day of Prayer?
And the best way is at our website, nationaldayofprayer.org, nationaldayofprayer.org. Lots of resourcing, lots of information, and of course, on your favorite social media, just search National Day of Prayer.
I wonder, Kathy, this is a really weird time. This is the middle of COVID-19, and as we talked before we got on, that adds a whole nother layer of our ministry now that we're all home together. But I wonder, how are you praying for our nation specifically in this season, personally?
Personally, I'm praying a lot for our heroes, our quote unquote heroes in this, you know, those who are on the front line, the people in the hospitals, all the health systems, our first responders, people working in nursing homes, and all of those people, the people in warehouses and delivering their grocery stores, on and on, that are making sure we have what we need. But I'm praying mostly that we won't miss what God's up to, because He allowed this season in our world for a reason. That I can't think of another time where something like this affected every human being, especially in America. And so this now generation, because I don't like next, you know, there's no junior Holy Spirit. So people of all ages, our children are being affected by this. Adults, middle age, old, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your political preference is, your denominational preferences, your skin tone, your education, your economics, none of that matters. We have a common enemy. And for intercessors, we're used to praying against an invisible enemy. Uh-huh. But I don't, for whatever reason, God has allowed this to get our attention, for us to arise, abide, and ascribe whatever it is He's teaching us. I don't want us to miss that. I don't want us to come out of this on the other side and go back to the way we were last fall. Hateful, hurtful, divided, literally devouring one another in some of our relationships. You know, I think that, to put it in a Moms in Touch, Moms in Prayer term, God's put us on a holy timeout. Uh-huh. You know, and just said, why don't you just sit in your room, sit in your house for a little while and think about the consequences of your behavior? You know, let's talk about how we're going to be different and how we're going to give Him glory and what's going to get our attention and our affection when we get to step back out into whatever our next new normal is.
Uh-huh. Your husband's involved in healthcare in the middle of this time. And that probably adds an interesting dynamic to how you're praying and the things that you're thinking about right now. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. Sometimes I wish I didn't know so much about all this, because I don't know that we've really sat down and thought about all the pieces of this puzzle. And so I literally said to him this morning, because we had a very deep, almost dark conversation last night. And I said, you need to understand, every time I hear something new, it just becomes a prayer prompt. Every piece of this puzzle is a prayer prompt for me, not a time of panic, no fear, just faith. And so knowing that, kind of the economics behind a lot of this and how we climb out of that pit, it's so much bigger than just throwing on a switch and opening doors and turning the lights back on and calling your employees and say, come on back. You know, there's a lot of missed revenue in these things. There's a lot of people who won't come back to work. The glory side of this is God has taught us a lot of new things. Our Creator has taught us to be creative. And it will be interesting to see how many people actually go back into offices to work. What have we learned about this? And just praying for administrators as well as, you know, those that are administering COVID-19 tests. Yep. There's leadership needs prayer as well as the front line.
Well, it's just such an interesting time, as we're all moms that are listening right now at home with nothing but time on our hands. I mean, some of us got busier and our jobs got more complicated, but the one thing that we have at home is time with our families. So your daughter is supposed to graduate from college here. And I know that must ache in your mom heart for her, and it must ache for her. How are you praying for her in this season?
So for her and for all of our students, but specifically for her, that she can wait upon the Lord. That's so hard when you're 22. Uh-huh. I think about seniors in high school. I think about all these kids that have worked so hard in this pause of what's next. So I'm praying that this is a holy pause. This is a wait upon the Lord. This is a looking around and saying, how can I develop godly habits, eternal habits right now? I keep saying that it's fun to see all my friends on Facebook who have cleaned out closets and refurbished this and redecorated that. But I want to say, what have you done with an eternal impact with all this time on our hands? I don't know that anybody might, if your kids are learning online right now, I don't know that you have a lot of time. And I'm just thinking, God, I don't have a high schooler taking calculus and physics right now.
Wait a minute. That is exactly my scenario.
Oh, my goodness.
Calculus and physics. Right, yes.
Yes, we need to pray for you right now because you're relearning physics and calculus right now.
I never took physics and calculus, Kathy.
There you go. Well, see, God's growing you. Yeah, look at that. But we've all become teachers. And so I am praying, and we have this on our nationaldayofprayer.org website. Our friend Claude King, who co-wrote Experiencing God with Henry Blackaby, was kind enough to write a family prayer guide for us leading up to the National Day of Prayer or beyond the National Day of Prayer of teaching children how to make prayer personal. So take, for example, education, the mountain of education we love so much. You know, you ask your child, you sit down to have a family prayer time and you talk about education and how important it is and how much, you know, we appreciate their schools and learning. And you ask them, name a teacher or name somebody at your school or somebody we know who is a teacher or a principal or a school district person and name them. Now, names and play, they've influenced you. Some way they've touched your life. So see, we're teaching them praise. It's an attribute. We're teaching them thanks. It's something they've done. And then we say, what's something that they're through in life right now that you think we could pray for them over? Maybe you know a prayer request or you're guessing and all this. I bet your teacher really misses you. Let's pray she's not lonely and she's taken care of, okay? And then praying together as a family. So teaching this next generation, this now young generation, to be the next generation of moms and prayer moms and dads and intercessors. I'm just hoping that families are praying together and having these great deep conversations.
I love that. Okay, so you just said for the second time, the mountains or the mountain of, okay. And I don't think I've ever heard that language. So explain that to me.
Wow. Okay. I'd love to. So this was different. People have different versions of the history of this, but basically ours comes from Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU. But the seven mountains are also called the seven centers of influence. And so it's family, church, business or workplace, education, arts, entertainment, and media, military, and I got all excited and sure I missed one. So, but the seven mountains of influence are, oh, government. There we go. Sorry. A lot of people name that one first, so it always gets stuck at the end. Some people tuck military up under government and separate arts, entertainment, and media, but we put them together so we can specifically pray for our military. And so we pray over those mountains of influence and pray into those. We never pray critically and we never pray politically, but we always pray scripturally.
Boy, that sounds awfully familiar. Mm-hmm. It sounds a lot like Moms in Prayer. Kathy, Moms in Prayer moms are some of the biggest warriors in prayer. Mm-hmm. I really believe that the people who are listening, the ones who are serving in and out by praying for their teachers, their schools, their kids are some of the mightiest women on earth right now. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you could set us to praying about one thing that's burdening your heart. If you said, this is the one thing that I would just set before you right now. Is there something like that?
Wow. If you had said like three.
All right. You can have three. What's at the top of your list?
So at the top of my list is the students, their safety as well as their education. So we need to realize that not every child is getting to sit at home with some super mommy like you who's helping them through school, who is able to put a warm meal in front of them every day, that they're sleeping in a safe bed. There's so many pieces to this with the rise of addiction and domestic calls, you know, violence and abuse. So there's a lot to this. So the students are really on my heart. I'm so grateful that all the moms and prayer moms are still praying for their schools. You know, I hope they're on Zoom calls or WebEx calls or whatever and Facebook together praying. You know, that's one way for our moms and prayer groups to stay together through this time and still meet together. So I want to encourage that. And the students who don't have super moms who can relearn or learn calculus and physics or even third grade math, that those students won't get left behind, that this just isn't going to get swept aside. And the second thing is that they won't fear. You know, they don't even know if their schools are going to reopen next fall. You know, seniors are graduating going, am I going to go to college? Am I going to get a job? Am I going to, you know, and so for children, schedule and routine is very important. And they may be picking up on the fear factor, the anxiety of their home, as well as their own anxiety of what does today bring? And when am I going to get to go back and see my friends? And so just a peace hovering. And then our schools and just the finances that come from tax to be able to reopen our schools and pay our teachers and for there to be safety and health inside our campuses. So lots going on in my head for education, just because I love it so much. You know, I started in ministry in education with teacher prayer groups in public schools. And we used to do a Moms in Prayer, Moms in Touch, Face for Educator conference, praying your school inside and out. So education is really on my heart.
Kathy, I'm so grateful and I'm so excited to know that you are leading this incredible partner ministry for such a time as this. And we love that we get to support you in that way. You have something else to say.
I do. I want to make sure that people know about our National Day of Prayer, National Observance, because we will be praying for families and praying for education and praying and praying and praying. And it will be an interactive prayer gathering. So National Day of Prayer, May 7th. And from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern time, we will be gathering our nation, the whole nation, to pray together and some people around the world to pray God's glory. Our theme verse this year is Habakkuk 2:14. It's a promise from God in the middle of pronouncing a bunch of woes and bad news. He stops to promise. He says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And so our theme this year is Pray God's Glory. And so join us at nationaldayofprayer.org, on Facebook Live, on God TV, on Daystar, on so many other channels. We are so grateful for all the partners we have this year. Will Graham is my co-host, but many people. You can find out more information at nationaldayofprayer.org so you can pray with us on the National Day.
Kathy, thanks so much for being with us today. As we close out our time together.
I would love to. Lord Jesus, thank you for mommies. Lord, thank you for teaching us so much about parenting, being our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you pour into us. Thank you for your word that guides us. Thank you for the children that you've given us. Lord, thank you for our schools. Thank you for education. Thank you for our teachers and for principals and everyone around the campuses. Lord, I ask that you would give mommies peace right now. Lord, that you would give them godly confidence right now, that they would take courage, that they would not be fearful, that they would not faint, that they would know they are not hopeless, but Lord, that they would be strong, that they would be the mighty warriors that they are. Lord, that they would armor up in the full armor of God every morning, that they would take their sword, which is your word, and they would face the day. Lord, that they would continually, out of the overflow of their heart, their mouth would speak your word into their family, into their neighborhoods, and into the schools. Lord, let them feel your delight and your presence. Just saturate their home and their hearts with your presence. We ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Woo!